discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Bo Mitchell was doing very well, but his life was about to take a staggering turn. The businessman, longtime chaplain for the Denver Nuggets, inexplicably ended up in federal prison, only to find God's true freedom behind bars. In a 6-by-9-foot cell, God began to free this driven Christian leader from his prison of performance and success. But there's more to the story. Just before Bo enters prison, his wife, Gary, becomes incapacitated by a brain illness and enters her own prison of clinical depression. This, to say the least, dramatic, true story is shared in Grace Behind Bars, the new book that details how the couple struggled together as their world fell apart, yet ultimately grew closer to each other and God behind the bars of their trials. And Bo and Gary Mitchell join us today on the road. The warmest welcome to both of you. Thanks for sharing your time with us today.
Thanks for having us, Ryan.
Yes, Ryan, we're so glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you already. And Bo, as we begin, just sketch this scene for us, sir. You're a business success. You're working in professional sports as this story opens. You were doing awfully well for yourself and for your family, right, sir?
Things seem to be going well. Yes, I was having success in the real estate business, even though it's ups and downs. I've been asked to become the chaplain for the Denver Nuggets, which I ended up doing for about 20 years. But Gary and I were in love, had two great kids, and things were going well.
Gary, at this point, as the story opens, what place did faith have in your family before this, the really dramatic events of the story begin to unfold?
Well, Bo and I were both Christians, both believers in Christ. And I think in 1984, like 4 or 5 years before this whole terrible time happened, we had heard a teaching from a woman named Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries about what and how to go through very difficult times, what God wants for us, what he wants us to do. And because of that lesson, when things started going crazy for us, we knew what to do.
Oh, Bo, you take time in the book to lay out how your dad's career in Major League Baseball sort of impacted you and shaped the person that you were in the beginning of this story. Can you take us through that?
Well, my dad, Dale Mitchell, was a great baseball player for the Cleveland Indians and then the Brooklyn Dodgers from 1946 through 1956. I was 7 years old, actually, sitting in the stands in Yankee Stadium when he struck out as the last batter for the Dodgers to end Don Larsen's perfect game, which is still the only perfect game ever thrown in the World Series.
Whoa!
And we tell that story in the book, show some pictures of my father as a baseball player and also of me then as a minor league baseball player. And sports was just kind of what was going on at our home when I was growing up. And I kind of subtly learned, you know, from my dad and his success that, you know, if you hit 400, you're doing well. If you hit 200, it's not too good. You need to shape up a little bit. So I got this message that winning and doing well, you're going to get a pat on the back, and anything short of that performance is not going to fare too well.
Mm. Well, it's the perfect setup to what happens next. Bo, give us a sense of the events leading up to your time in prison. I mean, this is just about as crazy a set of circumstances as you're going to read about.
I borrowed money from a bank in 1984 to loan to two friends who were running a large business and could no longer qualify to borrow money from that bank. The money was repaid in full, and yet 7 years later, the government determined that what I had done was stepped in to help them in what is called a straw borrowing position. I'd never even heard of it, and they really wanted me to plead guilty to a felony for a variety of reasons, but they wanted me to witness against my friends that helped me start a rather large church in Denver, and I didn't think my friends were criminals, and I certainly did not think anything I'd ever done was criminal. But when they showed me the statute, that's exactly what I had done. I had borrowed money to help my friends, and when I told them, you know, the money was repaid, isn't that a factor? They kind of said, don't get hung up on the specifics. So even pleading guilty to a felony was awkward. And like I say, you can read more about it in the book, but they were terrorizing us, I felt like, the FBI and the government. And the course of least resistance seemed to be to plead guilty, even though it felt crazy to have a felony on my record. And they promised me probation, but they could not deliver on their promise because the judge had the final say-so, even though they said 99.9% of the time the judge listens to our recommendation, and even though the U.S. attorney was aggressive in recommending probation for me because no money lost, no fine, all of that stuff, the judge kept referring to general deterrence and said he was going to make an example of me and sentence me to 11 months in federal prison, which for us came like just a bolt out of the blue. It was already painful enough, but that completely changed everything. So we braced ourselves to surrender to God and prepare to see what God had for us on this crazy journey.
Crazy. Crazy is the word. The voice of Bo Mitchell, he and his wife, Gary, are with us today. The husband and wife behind a remarkable story of hope and perseverance. Their book is called Grace Behind Bars, An Unexpected Path to True Freedom. Unexpected is the word. And Gary, I mean, how do we even understand what you must have been going through at this point? How heartbreaking was this for you to see Bo plead and to go to prison? What were your conversations with God like at this point?
Well, the day that he went to sentencing, again, we thought he was going to have probation and we would just all walk back home. And when the judge said 11 months in federal prison, I heard this voice that say, this will be the salvation of your children. And I know that it came from God, and it was a bit confusing to me because my children, Ashley and Andy, were both Christians. But I think that God wanted me to know in my mother's heart to think, how is this going to affect your children, that he was in control of it. But as I watched Bo in front of me just about faint, my heart broke for him because I thought, this is a man who has the most sterling reputation. He always would do what he'd say he would do. Everybody thought so well of him. And to have this crazy thing happen to us was beyond belief. It really was. And he was able to self-commit 6 weeks later, which was a fortunate thing. And I cried every single one of those days until the day he went into prison.
Now, Bo, I'm sure you're asked this question with some frequency, but what was that experience in prison really like? And did you have a set of expectations somehow when it began? And how were they different from reality, perhaps?
I would start by saying that people would come up to me since I had helped found a few churches here in Denver, and I was an ordained minister and a chaplain. They would say, you're going to be like Paul. And I really immediately took the position of resigning anything I was doing in terms of leadership, including the church, and stepping back and saying, look, I'm going to shut up and fall at the feet of God here and see what is wrong with me and what lessons he has for me to learn rather than try to be like Paul. I mean, I'm going to prison for what they say is bank fraud, not for what Paul went to prison for. But fortunately, when I checked into prison, a lady told me, as I was the administrator, said, just keep your mouth shut. If you see it, you didn't see it. If you hear it, you really didn't hear it. Mind your own business. And that helped me because I never saw what what you read and hear about a white-collar tennis camp. I saw what I consider to be a very dangerous, rough prison and rough guys in there. So I was on guard most of the time, but really from day one, I just felt broken, not embarrassed, not mad at the judge, not mad at the system, not mad at God, just broken and seeking what lessons does God have for me, because something must really be wrong for me, with me, for him to allow this to happen, because it seems so strange. But prison is mean and it's tough, and I think people that have read our book say they learned a lot about what inside those walls is like, because I experienced just about all of it.
Oh, it is an incredible book, and it's called Grace Behind Bars, An Unexpected Path to True Freedom. And that word choice is very apt for this story. Bo and Gary Mitchell are with us today, the husband and wife behind a remarkable story of hope and perseverance. And I mean, this is where the story really could have gone differently, taken a different path. You describe your attitudes. Both of your attitudes seem so spiritually mature in this time. I don't know how many of us could have faced a scenario with attitudes as good as both of yours were. But Bo, in this 6x9 cell, you say that you began to find true freedom. But what do you mean by that?
First of all, to me, it means that I experienced the, and still experience it now as an ex-con, all the humility that comes along with this happening to you. Now, my only doubt was laying in that 6x9 cell the first night thinking, God, are you sure you're in control? Because this doesn't quite feel right. So even though I felt like the sentence and the judge sentencing us that way and sending me where he sent me was way overkill for anything I had done or not done, I accepted it and just felt like, quickly, what I started learning was anything that I'd done in my life, in athletics or business or ministry, was God's doing, not my own doing. So it came pretty quick to me that I went to prison because of ego and pride and self-effort and an independent streak even towards God. I used to have the conscious thought that God is sharp for picking me because I will work hard and do his kingdom work and deliver. That's just that's just arrogance, and that is ignorance. And the scripture's real clear that God says he will humble the proud, and I felt humbled from the first moment on.
Well, Gary, I mean, this is a spiritual transformation that is unfolding for your husband while he's inside this prison cell. On the home front, you talk about a lot of the lessons that you learned. Take us through what it was like for you and your family during this time and how your relationship with God was really developing during this period.
Well, I wanted to go back again and just talk about the lesson that we had learned from Kay Arthur, because God used that to get us ready. We weren't ready for me to get really sick. We weren't ready for Bo to go to prison, but we were spiritually ready, because she had taught clearly that when difficult things come, there is a roadmap to follow. The Bible's very clear about it. And I'm so grateful we had that. So when these things began to happen, we knew the very first thing was to say, God is in control. He's either in control of our lives and fully sovereign, or he's not. There's really no gray area. So Bo and I had to think, okay, God, you're in control. You're taking Bo to prison for a reason. You've allowed me to become sick for a reason. And we wanted to find out what God had for us. So from the very beginning, as these things happened, we knew what steps to take. I can't explain how relieving that was to think, oh, we know what we're supposed to do here. God, you know, it's already been put down our lives. And so all through prison, as difficulties came up, I kept thinking, okay, God, you're in control, you're in control. There's a few people's necks I'd like to wring at this point. But, you know, I'm just human. I was just as angry and hurt. But I just had to trust God that he had great things for us as we went through this time. And so it's like Dickens said, you know, it was the worst of times and the greatest of times. Well, that was true for us too. And I experienced God in ways I never, ever would have gotten to if I hadn't gone. Excuse me, sorry.
No.
Bo's usually the one that cries. But to know that we have this incredible God that's there when everything has fallen apart. And to experience that, I would have never gotten to do that. I would have never known all of those things. So I am grateful for that time. And we did learn so many new things, so many things in there. We definitely deepened our marriage. We had always said from the beginning of our marriage that we would never have divorce as an option. It was just never going to be in our playbook of life, which is a good thing because high percentages of people where one spouse goes to prison or one spouse gets really sick get divorced. Mm-hmm. And so for some reason, because we weren't going to get divorced, just that pressure cooker of me being sick and him being in prison was just the power we used to kind of break down some walls that we had just put up brick by brick, which I think can happen in any marriage. And so we became closer for so many reasons, and I am grateful for that.
Oh, it's extraordinary, just extraordinary. And as you alluded to multiple times, Gary, I mean, this story feels like it has enough twists already, but you develop this really quite serious illness at this mm-hmm. point. Take us through exactly what you were dealing with and how it impacted both of you.
Well, again, this is well covered in our book. But I had a surgery in 1988. The surgery was very successful, but it caused a complete brain breakdown, is the best way the doctors could say it. And when I woke up from surgery, I said to Bo, I said, I have awakened into a nightmare. And if your brain gets sick, it runs everything in your body. So I was exhausted. I was depressed. I was sick. And I just couldn't function. I couldn't go to the grocery store. It was like having vertigo all the time. Anyway, it was not good, and it lasted for almost 10 years. So that's why when Bo went to prison, this was so remarkable that in my weakness, you know, God talks about that, in your weakness I will be strong. Well, God, we really needed that. So he did start strengthening me in ways that I think were very surprising to both of us.
Hmm. Bo and Gary Mitchell, the husband and wife behind a remarkable story of hope and perseverance. It is remarkable. I think it's a word that just flies to the mind when you listen to this story told. But their book that details it so well is called Grace Behind Bars, An Unexpected Path to True Freedom. So, Bo, take us through your release from prison, that initial period of reentry into everyday life. Was that a time of just unmitigated joy, or was it more of a challenge perhaps than we might imagine?
I stayed broken for another couple of years afterwards, for sure. I mean, in fact, our friend Helen Dye said there was an underlying sadness about me that she wished would go away. It had never been there before. So I was happy to be home. I was happy to be back working and being with my kids and Gary again, but I just was kind of broken and fallen into the arms of the Lord, and it took a while. The interesting part, too, though, is even in the 80s when things were going well, I was going so fast as a competitor, which I'd learned in sports, that I knew I needed to get better as a husband and as a dad and as a businessman. I knew I was too aggressive, too confident, even in my church work, and I didn't know how to get better. At some level, I knew I needed to get better, but I didn't know how. And God knew how. He took me from the left fast lane of life way over to a parking lot called the Federal Detention Center. And Gary used to call it an enforced spiritual retreat. And that's a pretty fancy name for what I'm living here with, bad food and bad roommates. But you know, we were just thinking, I really had the thought, you know, I'm happy just to do any job, drive any car, live in any rental home. And I really thought I was on the bench for life. But slowly God pulled me off the bench as I learned it was it was him who was able, not me. It was God who was doing these things, not me. And so once I sort of learned my lessons and got it straight, I slowly was pulled off the bench and got back involved in ministry work and other things. And since then, we have been abundantly blessed. And I guess it's taken 25 years to fully live the story before we felt like writing it in a book. But I hope people benefit from reading it who are discouraged or struggling right now themselves.
Oh, yeah. And perhaps even just, if you could just flesh it out even just a little bit more, because you are back in professional sports. You're back in ministry. You are in so many ways doing similar things to what you were before, only in a number of ways as a changed man, as you've described.
Yes, sir, Ryan, that's true. I could say the title ex-con keeps you humble every day. I don't focus on it. It doesn't define my life, but it did happen to me. It happened to us. I mean, I took my whole family through prison, but it's part of who we are, not all of who we are. God's forgiven us. If there was sin involved, greed or pride, like I said, in me borrowing that money to help my friends, maybe we were all just too big for our britches in the 80s and moving too fast. But mm-hmm. God's in the business of fresh starts and new beginnings, and he certainly has given us that.
Amen. Amen. You know, you both use the image of a prison to describe how we can find real freedom in our spiritual lives as well. And my sense of it was that what you were really saying, Gary, that true freedom has nothing to do in the end with the building we're in, even if it be, as you called it, an enforced spiritual retreat, but it has everything to do with our relationship with Jesus. Did I read that right?
Yes, you absolutely did. And people can be in all kinds of prisons that were just as strong and complete as the one that Bo is in. You could be in a prison of a bad marriage and you don't know what to do, or the prison of debt or substance abuse. There's just so many ways that we can be entrapped. And I think to understand that God can use all of these things, he wants to use all of these things as his sandpaper to make us into the people that he has always wanted us to be from the very beginning of time. And that is a terrific person. So I think if you have the perspective that, yes, I am in this mess, but God is greater than anything, and he does have, he's got a step-by-step process to get me out of this. And as I said before, God is in control of it. And you need to understand he's disciplining us because he loves us. You know, he's not mad at us. He doesn't hate us, but he loves us. And he loves us enough to bring us through really difficult things, because sometimes that's what it takes.
Well, it's been just such a treat to hear this story, which the story is incredible enough by itself, but the heart with which you tell it, the heart with which you have lived it, is such a lesson, I think, for all of us. And we don't want to, even with just a couple minutes remaining, leave without talking about, first of all, Bo, how do you get a copy of this great book, and how do you learn more about your ministry as well, sir?
I'll answer the first part and then let Gary finish, but thank you, Ryan, for having us today. Shout out, by the way, to Chamberlain, South Dakota, where I played baseball in the Basin League in 1970.
Yes!
That was a great part of my life. I love South Dakota.
Yes.
But you can go to Amazon.com and look us up there. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Hobby Lobby, and then where else, Gary, can they find out information about us?
Anywhere Christian books are sold, all of the Christian bookstores, you can Google it. So it is available, and we do love Hobby Lobby. That's a kind of a new place for books, and they're deciding to offer more Christian books. So I'd look for that too.
Oh, that's great. Well, it really has been a treat to have both of you today. I mean, I know that this is a story that does, in the rearview mirror, look like it was made for a book. But honestly, thank you so much for being so public with your story and for blessing each of us by sharing it here today.
Thank you, Ryan. You're a great host, and we appreciate you having us.
Yes, thank you, Ryan. And we've really enjoyed this time, and thanks for giving us an opportunity to talk about our book. We will trust in
you. Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.